This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Prescott?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now.
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to On the Tee Florida. Two pros and a hack and the humor squad on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Streaming on RadioSt.Pete.com and FloridaSportsStream.com on this August 31st. On the Tee Florida, brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka and, of course, Michelob Ultra. Two great sponsors, Stepped Ups, Shipyard Brewing and Sea Dogs Brewing. And today, we've got Bill Buckner, of course, 15 years on the PGA Tour, 21 years at Eckerd College, and still employed at St. Pete Country Club.
Wow, you'll know my blood type shortly.
I already know that, my man.
Hey, we had some great stories last week from you, Bill. They were great.
And we're going to get some great stories today from him. I'll tell you where the stories are going to come from, because she's been gone. She shows up when we're not here. I think she does that intentionally. It's a lot more enjoyable. Goes downstairs, throws down some beverages. She is Patty Suzette, the cart girl, and of course I call her the queen of cocktails.
And I love that.
Thank you, dear, for being patient with us.
I've been stalking you for a month.
Responsible for one of them. I'm responsible for the others. Of this poor young lady getting dressed. Well, she dresses nice all the time. Coming down to heckle us and get cocktails for the prima donna.
And you were out of town.
Yes.
How was I responsible?
Because you were out of town the first time you were supposed to contact her. Wow. And you happened to be in the same city I was in when I was irresponsible. So we're going to blame it on Denver.
Talk about passing the blame here.
I was going to say, I was in Denver 2 weeks prior to that. So.
Well, it was the Mile High City, and we weren't thinking properly.
Yeah. This is why
she was.
Here.
Yeah.
Oh, this is why
this
Patty's
is
here.
Why.
Here comes
your charming personalities. It's not for the ice.
Here comes the ice pick vodka, and of course, it's the... It's the Champa Bay. It's our favorite down here. We just move a lot of them. And it's just that. How would you describe it? Describe the Champa Bay, would you?
Light. It's refreshing. It's got a little bit of that tart. It's perfect for a hot day, and it makes Bill Buckner smile. So it's land in my book.
Oh my God. Oh,
make it a double.
Did I just belt?
I'll take three. All right. So Tom Gribben, of course, St. Petersburg's most interesting man. How do I give you an intro after that? Most interesting man.
Thank you.
Author, attorney, promoter. A great guy all around, and always a pleasure to have you in the house, my friend.
It's good to be here finally.
Yeah. And then, of course, the man that holds all this together each and every week up on St. Augustine Beach, that is John Rieger.
Is he on the beach or is he fighting a hurricane?
He's already gotten through that, and he just got a taste of it as we did. So, John Rieger, welcome to the show, my friend. Looking forward to the next couple of hours. We've got an interesting guest in Lynn the Growler Strickler. He'll talk a little Ryder Cup. He potentially thinks he was on Bill Buckner's bag at one time.
If he's hungry and he's starving, he probably was on my bag. Yes.
All right. And you probably fired him, and he's proud of that factor. So how are you, my man?
Well,
he's silent. He's gone for a swim.
John Rieger, did we lose John?
We're going to find out why Bill fired him.
Well, it was obviously his fault. Yeah. I mean, it was not.
Well, hearing the stories about this guy, it's amazing that he lasted two tournaments.
We're as I said, we're efforting. He's on the line and it's hooked up. All right, John Rieger, how are you, my man?
Hey, it's great to be on the Tee Florida again. It's great to see that Bill Buckner and Patty and Tom are in the studios. I'm at the John Rieger Golf Studios in St. Augustine Beach, not on the beach, but in my man cave studios, and looking forward to a great show. In fact, I know that we're going to talk to Lynn Strickler, a.k.a. the Growler. And, I do a lot of show prep, and I like to read in about our guests. And you know what? It's fascinating. This guy is absolutely fascinating. It's amazing, his career, and amazing what he's done, amazing all the different things that he's been associated with out there on the PGA Tour and caddying. So looking forward to another couple hours of great banter and storytelling and fun.
Well, it's been an interesting last week. we'll go ahead and start one of the segments. We'll start talking about the FedEx and
who picked what players.
I see. By the way, he has one sip of that ice pick vodka.
It makes him feisty.
And he starts getting feisty.
Hey, John is the boss. I mean, he's picked two in a row.
Yes,
he regular. I mean, he two for two.
Yes.
Well, Hovland after the week prior to that was chalk, so that's not a great pick. Well,
remember,
he shot a 61.
He picked Brooks when he was eight strokes back,
and he shot a 66. Yes.
Yeah, and you know, my hat's off to John.
Oh yeah, and he picked Langer for the Senior Open too. Yeah, so that's another feather in his cap.
It's great to have Bill Buttner on our show here, and obviously PJ Tour player, long time, excellent coach now at Eckerd College. But I think at the time when I started picking, he wasn't on the show. Now he's on the show, and all I have to say is great minds think alike, and congratulations to Victor Hovland.
I tell you what, that young man from Norway, in fact, that country, of I think it's only about 3 or 4 million, the entire country, but that young man is a Greek god the rest of his life. For the way he played and the way he represents himself. I love his demeanor. He went to Oklahoma State. He constant half grin almost.
Yeah, and he traveled by car from site to site, just traveling by car by himself, which was a phenomenal feat in itself.
Well, you know why?
A Greek god.
What
is that? Where did that come from, Mike?
I don't know, but my ears picked up. I was like,
Well, he's going to be adored. How about that?
Kind of like Patty's first boyfriend when she met him. He looked like a Greek god. And then later on, he looked like a goddamn Greek.
He's an Adonis. And that's where the comedy comes out. Who needs Kerry McNally? We got Tom Gribben. Are you kidding me? But I'll tell you a little factoid of Victor Hovland, fellas. You said he travels in his car. That's because he loves the hardest rock. I mean, stuff off the charts. AC/DC is like the Carpenters. He listens to this unbelievable music, and I think he was talking to one of the guys on the Golf Channel who explained, you know, that's how he relaxes. And he said, well, boy, that's out of my life. He goes, no, I want you to try it one of these days. And again, it escapes me who it was, but he loves, I mean, the intense headbanging kind of music, and that's probably why he travels by himself.
Yeah. But
I got a story for you about this. I was up at the U.S. Open qualifier in Atlanta, and I remember it was the sectional qualifier, and it's right when they had the Walkmans come out, you know, where you put a little cassette in there and you could play music and everything. And I don't know if I quite remember this tour pro's name. But it was like after a famous actor like Richard Burton. It was along those lines. And the guys on the second hole, this is my first time I made it to the sectionals. And this is your final qualifier before you get to the U.S. Open. And the guys on the second tee, he's got his Walkman out. He's got the headphones in there. And so I'm like, wow, you know what? I'm behind the times here. I need to get a Walkman because I'm sure he's listening to somebody like a sports psychologist or maybe Words of Wisdom or Notes on the Golf Course. So I walked over to him. I said, pardon me, what are you listening to? And he goes, Beatles, Hamburg, Germany Live. Listen to one of their greatest hits albums. And I'm like, oh, okay. I guess that's what professional golf's all about, huh?
That wasn't Disco Dick Zolkel, was it?
Who?
No, I don't know. It wasn't.
Come on.
It wasn't Richard Zolkel. No, this guy was like, his name was like Richard Burton.
He should be.
I remember his name because of a famous actor, and I'm sure his career was very minimal. I don't know if Lynn ever caddied for a guy with that kind of name out there, but yes, definitely. But when you start talking about Victor Hovland and listening to music, and it's pretty interesting, you know, music and golf go together, you know. For us, you know, you got to have a boombox when you're out there playing, you know, rhythm, tempo, and timing.
No, that's LIV, pal. We're not going there.
That's true. But to have back-to-back week or Sundays, 61-63,
phenomenal,
is over the edge. Come on. Yeah. And they're not playing Twin Brooks. They're not playing 54.
The FedEx, he was 33 under combined for those tournaments. But wait a minute. We got to go back. Disco Dick who?
Dick Zockel.
Oh, of course.
Of course. A Brigham Young star.
Who in the...
Come on. Do research.
Okay, the Milwaukee Open is a big event these days. Oh, it doesn't exist.
That tuck away.
Hey, Brigham Young doesn't let guys like that name in.
Yeah, well, hey, Jim McMahon went there. Don't forget crazy Jim McMahon. Disco Dick, did he play during your era?
He did. That's the only reason I know it. But okay. That was a way of relaxing him.
Okay. Well, that name, he probably got plenty of...
I was going to say, I've got so many things I want to say, none that are appropriate.
hey, everybody, let's go to the bio right here. Richard Francis Dick Zockel is a Canadian golf professional golfer who has played on the Canadian Tour, PJ Tour, Nationwide Tour, winning at least one event in each venue. How about that?
All right.
There you go.
Hats off to Disco Dick.
Jeez. Only Bill Butner could bring us that. Did he have a card like you, a PGA card?
Trading card. I don't think he did. I mean, it took.
Well, then he's not big time like Bill Butner.
That's true. That's a good point.
He's not like Bill Butner.
One just for the name. Like, I would collect that for sure.
Yeah. Well, I got to bring mine in. I might have to bring them in here.
Yeah.
Well,
you still haven't brought in your cards.
Well, I brought them in the time that nobody was here. That was.
You did not have your cards.
That doesn't count.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, I called it. I did call. You called me, and I was in Denver. I was up in the mountains. And I thought you were infuriating me. You were very abrupt. I said, oh, my God. I mean, I was sincere in my apology. You got. All right, bye. Like, man, he's pissed.
Bill.
I know. I said, go down to the bar and start a tab on me.
You did. And I said, no big deal.
You said, go to hell and hung up.
Go to hell. That was the week he brought in his Congressional Medal of Honor, but none of us were here to see it.
Yeah. My Purple Heart, too.
I mean, at this point, I could have said I rode in on, like, Lady Godiva naked on a horse and nobody would know.
And we missed it.
Some people might have flown back for that. You never know.
Well, you gave me credit for getting dressed and coming out here. I usually actually make a point of being dressed every time I leave my house. But
that's not good. Or if you walk around the corner, have you ever seen the picture there on the wall?
Which one?
Right by the ladies' room. There's a picture.
Oh, so that's actually done by a friend of mine. That's Harvey.
I met Harvey.
Yeah, he's a cat. But
that's a mural she's supposed to do, right?
No. That's outside.
Oh, no, okay. That's Mike naked on a clamshell. It's going to be great on the site for...
Yeah. Describe this picture right outside here.
So Harvey is actually known for taking... He takes nude photography, but it's... It's interesting the way he does it. So this one is like, I do believe this one's right outside.
Disco Dick started this, by the way.
A lot of nudity going on here. But yeah, so it's basically, you just see the backsides of everybody. So it's just butt cheeks for days. But is this one by Fergs or is this one by like...
this is Fergs right out here. Outside. I was there that day.
Like iconic areas from St. Pete.
So folks, it's about, if you count, there's like 9 women, 3 guys, they're backsides. And they're looking up at the Fergs World Globe.
And Mike was one of the models.
No, listen, I'm up in my office. They're congregating down here. And I have no idea what
they're facing you.
I have no idea what they're doing. I come down to use the restroom and all their stuff's still out here. And I have no idea what they're doing.
Wait, so you actually were here when he took the photos?
Yeah. Okay. I did not see anything. I thought they're having like a company meeting or something. I didn't know. And they had their own food and they left their phones, their purses. I thought, well, that's crazy. I wonder where they went.
It's their socks, their shoes.
Yeah. Well, I walk. Fine. I'm leaving here and people say, hey, were you upstairs? Did you see him? I go, what are you talking about? They walk out here. They are clothed and they drop trowel within seconds. They have it choreographed. Boom, boom, boom. Takes the pictures, put it on, and then they come back in. Nobody even sees them.
He has to do it that way specifically because obviously. Because
he doesn't want to go to jail.
Exactly. but he used to have a studio right next to mine. And so when I did an art show there one time, I had a show with all of my stuff out there. I had a couple different artists and he was there bejeweling a woman. And I told him, I'm like, well, there might be children who are going to be coming here. So we have to make sure that like she's not fully nude and like.
What's bejeweling?
That's too big a word. They didn't teach that in North Carolina.
He
glues little jewels all over a naked woman, basically. And then takes...
Boy, this show is really gone. Wow.
I'm going to stop talking.
And then ask her to marry him.
Yeah. It started with Disco Dick.
She ended up walking all around the show.
You started this. See, the two people drinking started this. They've got Ice Pick Tampa Bay's in front of them. Sorry, folks. Hey, it is good entertainment as you're driving right now. But John Rager, bring us back into the fold.
Yeah, I noticed that John.
Yeah, folks. In fact,
usually when we run a foul like this, John brings us back to golf. Sat back listening to this.
He's intrigued.
Well, we're going to do a little follow-up. We're going to do a little follow-up on Richard Dick Sokol, Disco Dick out there from Canada. He played in 412 PGA Tour sanctioned events. Well, he made the cut in 198 of them. So I guess he must be vested in the PGA Tour player pension, fully vested there.
Yep.
And he won $1.8 million. So there is Richard Sokol, just celebrated a birthday 2 days ago, and age 65 now. And I'm not sure if he's out there on the Champions Tour or not, but the Champions Tour is continuing on for the rest of the year here. I know the Tour Championship has ended, and we're looking for the Ryder Cup, but the old peeps still have a full slate of tournaments coming up here to end their championship. They call it the Charles Schwab Championship at the Phoenix Country Club later on in the year.
Well, we are going to get back to golf, and we're privileged to have him join us. He's Lynn the Growler Strickler, friend of mine, a staple down here at Ferg's before Rays games, and of course an accomplished world-class caddy, lives up in Clearwater, and he's kind enough to take time in this conversation brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka. What's going on, my man? I appreciate you taking time on this Thursday to join us, and it's a little zany and crazy down here. You'd fit right in, brother.
Well, I'll tell you what, thank you very much for the kind words. I'm not used to being talked to so nicely.
Well, with the name the Growler, people probably just get their dander up. But let's talk a little bit about Lynn Strickler, and then we'll have you migrate. And we've got Bill Buttner here with us, and of course John Rager. You know both gentlemen. And let's talk about your growing up. You grew up in Clearwater. Little bio on how you got to where you are as a caddy.
Well, I was a baseball player in the summer, so you could only play one summer sport. It was either golf or baseball. And I was a baseball guy and never got acquainted to golf until I got after the service. And a guy I played baseball and softball with joined the tour, Jim Barber, finished second to Time Wise Golf at White Marsh in Philly. And I called him and I said, guess what? Where's the next tournament? You got a new caddy.
That's how
I jumped on the tour. Pardon me?
You basically sold yourself to Jim because you guys were pals, and the rest is history. How many years were you on the tour, Lynn?
48, consecutively about 30, but on and off. When Ben hit 50, it was an on and off thing. All total, at least 40.
And let's talk about how many... How many bags were you on? And you always like to tell me you were on 16 bags and fired by 16. I can't remember the exact number.
No. I, as far as having jobs for a long time, it didn't happen back then.
If you wanted a new job,
you had to earn it.
So let's talk about
The poster child of caddying is Mike Cowan, because he went from Peter Jacobson for 20 years to 4 years of Tiger Woods, and he's still working for Furyk. He's had three bosses in 50 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I have three bosses in a month.
You couldn't afford a full-time caddy back in the day. I can agree with you there. I mean, you had Keller, you had Spider, you had obviously Ant. You really couldn't afford a full-time caddy back in the day. You just traveled.
No, you got paid pennies. And at the time, there was only a top 60. So there were 60 players every week that earned their spot on the Monday. So top 60, they got in. So everybody else was growling for one of those 60 spots to just get in the tournament. And if you don't get in the tournament on that Monday, you find out where the next tournament is, and you get out of town.
That's called a rabbit. I lived it well.
That's the trip. You know the trip.
Oh, yeah.
So do you think that possibly you had connected out on the tour when you were playing there, Bill?
I've had so many caddies because you had Monday caddies also. You had Monday caddies, and then you had the weekly caddy. So depending on
until you start caddying for a winner, I got Curtis Strange in 1980. He finished third on the money list. Bruce Edwards was working for Watson. We started rooming together, and they called us the Click because Watson was winning Player of the Year 6 years in a row, and I had Couples and Payne Stewart and Great Bags in the meantime. But we hung together, and all other caddies that watched us doing it with long hair and bell bottoms were looking at for their little college dormitories going, you guess what? I wouldn't mind doing that for a living.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bruce was an awesome guy. I got to know Bruce a little bit.
He was the best.
He's the best.
It was camaraderie. You would not have to worry about a friend trying to steal your bag. If you had a good bag, everybody that didn't have one would do anything to get a better bag.
Yeah, I was going to say, Irwin had Killer.
Trevino told Irwin, he says, if you didn't have Killer, you'd have won 20 more tournaments. Killer couldn't add or subtract.
Well, neither could my caddy, but I mean, look where I am. I'm on this radio show. I mean, how far have I gotten?
Hey, I'll tell you what, in those days, if before 1980 or whatever, there was a 150 bush or a stake or whatever, Killer said that's to the middle of the green. He took 15 yards off that, and that's how far it was to the front.
There you go.
Because the greens were 30 yards, and the 150 to the middle, he got that right.
And you had Black Squeaky and White Squeaky, and I mean, you
Squeaky,
had
brothers.
Hey, you know, for our listeners out there, you know, we want to make sure that we give Lynn the proper props here, the growler here, because with the John Rager Report, you know, we post things on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook and all that.
Yeah.
And what we do is we try to feature something interesting that, especially every Thursday, we post our live broadcast for our listeners.
So is that their new thing? It's Thursday afternoon at this hour, right?
Yeah, Thursday, exactly. 5 to 7. Yep. So in the show prep, one of the things you'll see posted on our social media just a couple hours ago, there's a picture of Lynn Growler, the Strickler, with Greg Norman in the 1986 or the night, whatever British Open it was that you went over there recently.
But that's the only time I ever worked for him.
But what is that? You're standing in front of the Ferg sign outside. I don't know how that happened, how you got teletransported to it. But
Did you have any pictures of me hugging up with Chris Everett, his wife at the time?
Well, here's what I got on you here, okay? So
Chrissy,
we found that picture out there. And so I was doing some research, and Golf Digest has pegged you as one of the top 36 caddies of all time. There's a little bio on there.
That's overrated. I don't deserve to be on that list.
Well, it says, Lynn the Growler Strickler, his throaty frank comebacks, long a fixture on the tour of the Vietnam vet, carried for a number of top players, including Curtis Strange, Fred Couples, Craig Staller, Payne Stewart, Nick Price, and Greg Norman.
Yes, all
and one of the funniest things, you know, I like to do the show prep. I like to find out what's going on, and I found something very interesting. You're in, evidently, you know, you were just, and I haven't seen you lately, but you were pretty fit.
It's all good, man. I'm staying healthy. I was down there. I had some friends that hunt the pythons down in the Everglades. They got themselves a 19-footer the other day.
Well, you know what? So I'm reading this article, and they're talking about the people in the gallery looked at you and said, that's not Greg Norman's caddy. You're such great shape. That's Greg Norman's daddy.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
Do you... No, I tell you, they said, well, before he tried to win, he goes, old Tom Morris, their combined age is 111, and he's not his caddy. He looks like his daddy. And that's that was quite insulting. But you know how that British press is.
Brutal.
I'll tell you what, I got some nice Ryder Cup stories for you between now and the start of the event, because I've been involved in four of them, and I have some very, let's say, happy, like Phil Mickelson stories about it.
Well, let's fire a few of these Ryder Cups.
Yeah, let's
talk. Yeah, Lynn, there's no pressure on you right here because it's not like you're looking for a bag out there right now.
It's going to take a whole new show, man. I'll tell you right now.
Hey, you're already rated 36. Come on, we want to hear it.
Yeah, come on.
This show needs a new facelift. Trust me.
Okay, how about this? Now, in 95, Ben won the Masters. He gets into the Ryder Cup. Lanny's the captain. Lanny finds out on Tuesday that Lauren Roberts' caddy has bet on the European team.
Oh, my God.
Lanny gets Lauren Roberts to the side. Guess what? You're in the envelope. I'm going to sit you the whole time and fire him right now.
Wow.
Lauren Roberts played the last match on Saturday. Corey Pavin, his partner, chips in. Pavin is yucking it up that Dirty Dan is this guy's name. Roberts' caddy comes up there, give him a high five. Corey Pavin just stiffs him. You fucking European betting guy.
Say that on the radio, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
guess what? All that betting on Ryder Cup and stuff is there's all kinds of under the radar stories that you guys would probably never ever heard of, but they're extra fresh.
They have barely heard of Disco Dick Zokel, so I mean they're coming from a very very low bar here.
Hey, Lynn, have you ever heard of Disco Dick?
Yeah.
Of course.
Disco Dennis.
He's a legend. He's a legend. Come on now.
I mean, this is as good as my backstage
story. They call him Dino. I like this. He was the man and still is. He's working at Palm Springs. He's making $300 a day chasing two golf carts around some executive course in Palm Springs right now.
Inside information.
Disco Dennis goes to the bird's nest right by Indian Wells. He goes, let's go grab some grannies, he says.
Let's go.
That's fresh.
I'd love to see what he's wearing.
Oh, he's styling. I mean, when John Travolta was doing Saturday Night Fever, he were dead ringers, man. Dead ringers. He got more wool than Will Chamberlain, I'm telling you.
Let's go back to...
Oh, 20,000.
Let's go back to Ryder Cup stories.
Any comments?
I'm surprised John hasn't interrupted us. Back to golf.
Well, let me jump in here real quick. Lynn, let's get to the present day. So the Ryder Cup selections were made, and they had six picks. And it's interesting because they went to the six picks years ago because that's what the European Tour was doing. A lot of the European picks throughout the last years have been not based on merit but on camaraderie. And it seems like a good formula for those European tours in the Ryder Cup. Yeah. So it looks like we follow that. And one of the controversial picks I think you ought to look at, obviously, is Justin Thomas. What do you think about that?
But how about leaving Keating Bradley out? He talked his way out of it by saying, although you think about, that's a license to choke.
Yeah, so...
Keating Bradley talked himself out of that thing.
Well, it's a shame. You know, Keaton Black, he should be on the team. He earned it.
I agree. Okay. Yes,
well, you already Ben Crenshaw was captain in 99. He got two picks. Six picks, you can screw them up. But if you only get two, I'll tell you what. Bob Estes bogeyed the last hole at Medina to go from 10th to 11th to not to be an automatic pick. Crenshaw goes great because he didn't want him on the team anyway, and he picked Steve Pape.
Bob Estes, wow. He dated my nanny back in the day.
He's a Texas guy. Bob Estes is not a, you know what I'm saying here? But two, Azinger's changed it all. I get two picks, makes it a hell of a lot tougher.
Oh, I remember Steve Pate very well. We used to call him the human volcano.
Well, great. They played him with Tiger. Him and Tiger were perfect.
Yeah.
It's all worked out. I've been, you know, it's very... How about our good buddy, our tall man there, Bill Buckner?
I'm here. I'm shorter than I was, but better looking. I can tell you that.
He shut up as soon as he said chasing the grannies.
We've rubbed tails. You might have fired me once yourself, if you remember correctly.
I don't ever fire anybody. I just ask them to leave. I mean, it's a whole different.
Okay, you never had a chance to fire me. I quit before I knew the hammer was coming.
There you go.
That's right. My caddies all fired themselves for the next week. You're going to be here next week? My caddies will go, no.
I will. But these guys I'm playing with are a little mad at me right now because they expect me to three putt from 50 feet here.
Are you on the course?
Dunedin Country Club here.
Oh, I
but
love
I'm two
that.
Holes I'm two holes behind now, and I've made a couple bogeys in a row talking to you guys.
Hey, I have a big question. When you get fired or when you leave a golfer and you leave the bag, do you steal anything? Golf balls?
No.
Clubs?
I don't ever steal.
Umbrellas?
That's one of the Ten Commandments, my friend.
I heard that caddy stole the umbrellas. That's the word that I got.
We fudged it. We lost them somewhere.
Found them later.
Yes.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
That's why we have manufacturers out there every week supplying us with new.
Hey, where's my umbrella?
Yeah. No umbrella.
How about this? I went to Phil's. No, and Phil Seal and Steins from Augusta, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they got Crawford Seal and Steins. I tried to get my caddy bib. Ben missed the cut in 2000. I'm stuffing the caddy bib in the bag. I get to his courtesy car. Here comes some goddamn guard. He goes, "What's that in the bag?" I go, "What? You get that goddamn?" He goes, "This jumpsuit ain't leaving the property." He told me.
Yeah, but it's signed by Payne Stewart.
And Crenshaw's going, "What is up?"
Hey, Len, I want to talk to you a little bit about Payne Stewart, and I'll tell you why, because I used to wear the Plus Fours, and I got them from T-Berry Knicker Company, and he was a big inspiration for me going ahead to wear those. You know, at that time, the Champions Tour players.
He was a big inspiration for a lot of people, man.
And I know that. So what happened when he passed away? I got a call from Bill Calfee, who called me up and says, "Hey, listen, I think it was the Houston Open when all the players were doing a tribute."
Oh, I work for Calfee.
Yeah, if I was an assistant.
But according to them, his death was 1 month of the day after we clinched that Ryder Cup in Boston.
Yeah. So what I did is I actually FedExed like 30 pairs of Plus Fours. I had them in my closet.
Did you?
And I got too fat to wear them, so I went ahead and Bill asked me to send them, so I FedExed them over there to a lot of the players.
So you obviously play with them, and you buddied up with them, right?
Yeah, he is. He was just fun, he's no saint, in a lot of ways. I mean, he was in his later years, but he was a wild child, and
when he was a youngster, man. But I'll tell you one thing, all those Plus Fours and the Ben Hogan hats, the minute the round was over, he was in blue jeans and flip-flops and a T-shirt, and he says, "Where are the caddies drinking?" Because that's where he
went. Absolutely. That's exactly right.
Just like Fuzzy. Fuzzy was the same guy. He didn't want to go to any program parties and hook it up with the members. He wanted to know where the caddies were drinking, and that's why he's on the top of the list, bud.
I remember
was phenomenal.
I love Fuzzy Zeller.
Well, Fuzzy, I remember one year at the at TPC Tampa Bay for the Champions Tour. Have a remote broadcast out there for a radio show. I'm sitting there talking to Fuzzy on the air, and it was after he finished playing and everything for the day. And it was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We're having a little radio interview, and he had his Fuzzy's vodka van. Mm-hmm. He pulled up there. He had it.
He's got his own vodka,
I understand, and we had security ask us to leave about 9 o'clock that night to say everybody's got to leave the property now. I think you guys are done.
That's a classic Fuzzy.
That Fuzzy, I'll tell you what, Fuzzy was in Dunedin about 3 months ago, signing 250 bottles of his vodka at the Lukens on Main Street, Dunedin.
Wow, that.
Well, he got a bottle signed, and he just lost his wife after she battled disease for a long, long time. He doesn't look too well, but he's out there signing these bottles, and they're a great bottle. It's not bad vodka either. Fuzzy.
Well, Lynn, we're here at On the Tee, Florida. We're on a strict diet. We're on ice pick vodka only, so very strict diet.
When I was in Iowa, I had Fuzzy's vodka on my set. For every show, and he was a sponsor of it. I love Fuzz. Hey, before we let you go back to your golf game, just share one story.
One more thing. Let me tell you one more thing. Fuzzy Vodka car won the Indianapolis 500.
That's a fact. And he's
his
he's
car was a winner at Indy.
And he's from Southern Indiana, and he loves the horses too.
He's got a hotel. He just bought a hotel in New Albany, right across from Louisville. And I hope he's doing well.
You know, that Indy 500, I know those cars race on alcohol, and, you know, what a great combination, Fuzzy's vodka and an Indy race car.
Yeah. Especially during the
and
race.
He could, believe me, he could move the vodka, because if you want to sit around with him, he will share one or two with you.
Yeah, or 14, as I witnessed in Des Moines at the Champions event, the Principal Charity Classic. Hey, real quick.
Where'd they have that? Is it Des Moines Country Club?
No, they did have it there, and now it's at Wakanda Country Club.
Yeah, that's it.
Real quick, share a Ryder Cup story. I won't have you on before the Ryder Cup of a instance where a caddy made a difference in a U.S. victory.
Yeah,
there we go. We're searching this one.
No, I'll tell you what, on the U.S. soil, U.S. victories are expected. In any other foreign soils, we're expected to lose because they stack the deck against us.
How about
in France, they stack the deck against Furyk? How about in Valderrama when Seve was the captain against Kite? On Sunday morning, mysteriously, all the U.S. walkie-talkies lost power. Fuzzy, I mean, because Seve pulled the plug on them.
Can we expect this in Italy this time?
It's in Rome now, and they've tricked up that course.
Well, yeah, I think I read the other day, I think that from that walkie-talkie incident, I think the CIA is involved now. I think they... They do all the electronic surveillance and for the Ryder Cup team now.
Were you at Kiowa?
What they did in France when Furyk was the captain, they changed the course. They made every hole like a 300-yard dog leg. It took the drivers out of the U.S. players' hands. We lost by 6 points because our forte is bombing it out there.
Well, you know, in Tampa Bay, we understand what that's all about. They call us Tampa Bay. So anytime like when the Tampa Bay Bucks play a team that looks like they might overwhelm them, they wet down that playing field before kickoff.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing like a Ryder Cup, and that's all there is to that.
Well, my
friend, I'll tell you what, in the first one I was ever involved with was 83 when Lanny Watkins' caddy, Pete Bender, wouldn't come from California because there was no purse. He didn't want to even take a part of it. I worked for Lanny in a practice round, and then Pete finally came over and worked the tournament.
Which site was that on?
Yeah.
Do you know which site that was at?
Yeah, it was at PGA National.
PGA National, okay.
That's 1983, wasn't it?
Huh?
Was that 1983? Yeah, and Lanny Watkins actually hit the shot that made the difference, too, I think.
That's exactly right.
18 hole, yeah.
But I did a practice round then, and then I worked for the PGA in Valderrama when Kite was captain in Spain. I was driving courtesy cars from the airport to the golf course because they needed English-speaking Americans.
Did you get any tips there, pal?
I just went there to check out Spain.
Well, you've traveled the world, that's for certain.
Well, you know, Lynn, I'll tell you what, it is a matter of money these days. It's unbelievable how over the top the amenities are now.
Believe me, I had more fun than these kids. I mean, they're not worried about how they're getting from one tournament to another. They jump on their player's plane.
It used to be a big deal as a player. If you couldn't afford to fly, you had to drive a car, you know, and that actually wear your butt out.
I did it in the 1970s, my friend. There were no planes.
My friend, did you ever run across a Buford Davis Jr.?
Buford
Davis Jr.
He could caddy now. He always had a tooth that hit his ear. Did he always have a toothpick in his ear? Buford?
He always had a Bud Light in his back pocket somewhere.
And he had a Marlboro Light in his mouth.
He did have a Marlboro Light, but he did have a car.
I know Buford. He weighed about 80 pounds.
If not 70, you're correct. He was my go-to caddy. He said he caddied for Tony Lima back
then. He was a funny son of a bitch. I just looked at him and laughed.
Funny. I guess he was a radio. I guess he was a good cross dresser at night. There's a lot of stories that go on.
Could he pull a club? Could he take a bad club out of your hand?
He could do that.
He could read putts. I know he could read putts.
Yes, he was. Different.
Wasn't he from? Didn't he go through Augusta or something like that?
He was with Tony Lima back in the day before Tony passed away. But
Tony Lima, that is exactly. He could read a putt. Now I'm gonna tell you,
Champagne Tony.
Buford Davis Jr. had stories on top of stories.
I'm running out of steam here. I just hit the green in the par three. I got to go three jacket. Are these guys going to kick me out of here? 16 Dunedin. I'll join you guys on the next segment.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon. That is.
Thank you very much.
All right. Lynn the Growler Strickler.
Yeah.
I told you guys. I told you he was a unique conversation.
Yes.
And it's amazing how many people that you had know and were in common there, my man.
Oh, yes.
Hey, you know what? You know what's really interesting,
we
guys?
We got to take a break. It's
not an interview with him. We need a series of interviews with him.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we need to take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll do analysis of the conversation and what just took place.
We need a five-second delay with him.
Well, yeah, my phone's blown up, and it says FCC. Yeah. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connections on the T, Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
On the Tee Florida, Florida's fastest growing premier golf and entertainment show has now moved to Thursday nights from 5 to 7, providing more golf entertainment and inside information from PGA to LPGA, LIV, NCAA, high school, and local events. A show for scratch golfers and fun-loving hacks. Two pros, John Rieger and Bill Butner, sharing PGA Golf Tour insights and tips, along with the hack Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation, inserting Caddyshack humor with our talented entertainment team of Kerry McNally, Tom Gibran, and Ice Pick Vodka Cocktail Queen and Cart Girl, the talented Patty Suzette. Tune in to On the Tee Florida, Thursdays from 5 to 7 from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill 19th Hole Clubhouse and Ice Pick Vodka Studios for a chance to win golf passes, swag, Rays Bucks Rowdies tickets, and Ferg's Full Swing Simulator passes. That's On the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Streaming on Florida Sports Stream and RadioSt.Pete.com. Tee it high and let it fly with On the Tee Florida and Ice Pick Vodka.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice Pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back. That's hard to beat. That's hard to beat. Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connections production on the T, Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, the 19th hole clubhouse studios. In the house tonight, Bill Butner, Patty Suzette, the cart girl and the queen of cocktails, Tom Gribben, always providing a little insight and perspective on the world of golf and life. And then, of course, John Rager, another one of our resident pros, two pros, and I am the hack. And now we have a caddy. We've got a caddy in the mix, and our days may be numbered. We may not be on terrestrial radio much longer, but it was a nice run. And fortunately, I own Florida Sports Stream, and we have a platform, a home to go to. In all seriousness.
Hey, you know, Mike, just want to let you know, you know, while we're during the commercial break, I was busy editing for our replay on Radio St. Pete app, which you could go to and listen for. So I'm going to give you a quick excerpt right here. I'm going to give you it's just a little 15-second excerpt. Ready? Here we go. Ready? Lynn, how you doing? Beep. What's it like out there on the PGA Tour starting in the early 70s? Beep. What do you think of GT's pick on the Ryder Cup team? Beep.
Yeah, it's only a 2 minutes spot there when you got out all the
editing. We talked to him for 40 minutes and we got 5 minutes of content that we can actually air and replay. But it is interesting. And, you know, I've sat and bought him cocktails just so I could take in some of the history and some of the stories that he's shared with me. He shared Chrissy Everett and Greg Norman stories, which we will not share on the air. He's giving some, you know, insight into some of these guys. But one of the guys he brought up, and you brought him up as well. And I didn't realize that he just lost his wife. But for 8 years, anytime that Fuzzy Zeller came to the Principal Charity Classic, he would reach out to me and say, hey, kid, you're going to be a driver for me? I wasn't drinking in those days. And one night he'd want to go to his two favorite steakhouses, myself and another pro, Bobby Vanscoy. And we'd take him around, and he was the greatest guy on the planet. Everywhere he walked, this was his ritual every year. There's Fuzz. Hey, Fuzz, good to see you this year. And people just embraced him. He invited me anytime I wanted to come to his place in southern Indiana. And then he came out with the vodka and asked me if he needed it. He said, I need a home for this. How about on the tee? And so they became a sponsor, and Fuzzy Zeller, just a great, great guy. Sad.
I can attribute to that. Fuzzy Zeller is a class act, and it was really unfortunate when he made that comment that CBS Sports aired when Tiger was winning the Masters, and yeah, Fuzzy made a comment out there. We all know that's not Fuzzy's personality. He's got a heart of gold.
Not at all.
And he's the guy. In fact, any time you got a chance to play with Fuzzy Zeller, you just want to play because, yeah, he's a fierce competitor. I mean, he's no nonsense out there. He played hard out there, but he was the guy that afterwards you want to definitely have a beer with because this is the guy. This is the pro's pro, and he's always good for stories, but he was always great for the game and very good with the fans.
Well, and I tell you what, as you said, as he's walking down the fairway, he's shaking hands and kissing babies in the gallery and chatting them up. Why he needs to focus on his next shot, but I saw him.
And he asked you to be the driver?
Drive him around town.
Oh, yeah.
Not the actual.
No. I got that.
Yeah, not the club.
I was once asked by a country superstar, George Jones, to be his driver in London.
Oh, my God.
We were playing at Wembley Arena together, and I'll tell you that story sometime.
I bet that
was interesting. Hey, you know what, Tom? You got to tell us that story right now. I got to hear this.
Hey, we already had it. It couldn't be any worse than talking to the growler. Go ahead and share it.
My first year when I was over there with the band and we played Wembley, it was a festival and a bunch of these guys were on there, George Jones and Johnny Cash and Emmylou Harris, blah, blah, blah. And so anyway, to gamble in the casinos in London in those days, you had to register 24 hours ahead of time. Of course, me and my band were the only band that arrived, 24 hours ahead of time. We wanted to get there early. We were coming from Florida. They were all coming from Nashville and Texas. So we got in there early, and George arrives and wanted to go over to the casino and gamble. And he just found out about that rule. And then his tour manager found out that I had come in the night before and had registered. I wasn't really going to gamble, but I just, for some reason, registered. Because I was told that rule. So anyway, he come banging on my hotel room door. His tour manager said, hey, we take George, drive him around, and take him over to the casino. And we did. You know, yeah, man, he was out of it.
He was
jet lagged, and we went over to the casino, and I watched him drop, you know, several thou. And it was a lot of fun. He's such a magnetic guy and really a fun guy.
I'm surprised he lived as long as he did.
Yeah, I mean, well, they got him doing a DUI in Franklin, you know, driving his lawnmower. Because they taken his car away, and he was driving his lawnmower over to the bar. And
he got a DUI on a lawnmower?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I am truly impressed.
You need to look up George Jones. It's Tammy Wynette and George Jones.
Yeah, that is a true definition of the Florida man, I guess, when you talk about getting a DUI on a lawnmower.
Yeah, and
he's going to the mower. Phone.
Yeah, George no-show Jones, because he missed a lot of shows because of his status. Anyway, John, I'll give you some more details when we get together. Something.
That this might have to be a podcast. This might have to go into the podcast category.
Yeah, we might be streaming that when we come back. We're going to bring Kerry McNally. He's not here in person, but Kerry McNally just reached out. So we'll have our resident comedian, of course, videographer and Emmy Award-winning producer. We'll talk a little Kerry McNally. And then the John Rager Report. Maybe we'll get a tip out of Bill Butner. We're going to start having you give us a tip of the week. What do you think of that?
Well, Patty hasn't had her lesson yet today. So, I mean, we're all about that.
Well, we don't.
Tip to me was, please practice, please.
And then maybe we'll get.
You broke the computer.
And then we'll talk Ryder Cup, of course, the picks, and break it down and look back at the last week at Eastlake and just a dominating performance by Victor Hovland. And continue the show. How is the Ice Pick Vodka, Champa Bay, my man?
Well, what a difference a week makes. I mean, this has been. I mean, thank you, Patty, for showing up.
I was trying.
Thank you very much for being here.
I was trying
very much for just kind of.
I'm pretty sure we were here together, and we just missed each other. So
kindred spirits.
Yes.
We would have been plastered, like with blue teeth by this point.
Well, yeah, like you're drinking Kool-Aid.
And when he was here without you, none of us went and got him drinks.
No.
Water with the rest of us.
Tap water, by the way.
And you just missed Bill's great punchline there. We were here in spirits.
I was trying to give your liver a rest since you'd been up North Carolina. You know, when there's a hurricane, you escape down to Naples, you highfalutiner.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you live on Pasadena Country Club. All these personal things are coming out now. And I used to feel sorry for you.
Tell John, you should see the pictures of the Pasadena Country Club underwater. You could be out there with your kayak.
Yeah, 4 and 5 fairway, totally 6 inches, 8 inches underwater.
Our good friend
Barry. Well, yeah, it's a real shame those golf courses got flooded because a lot of times, especially you get that salt water in there, it just kills everything. I saw Cove Bay, our good friends, Bill and Pat Schreiber over there. Their 17th hole was inundated, so a lot of these golf courses had some damage. They lose the grass on there. They'll grow it back. But all in all, I think Tampa Bay was very fortunate with the hurricane this year. It could have been a major disaster if it hit directly. You know, our prayers go out to the people up in the Big Bend of Florida, Steinhatchee, and all those areas, Cedar Key. They just got inundated up there. But we'll rebuild. We got a great governor. We got great resources, and they'll come back. And hopefully, our local golf courses, whatever you can do, just go out and support them. Go, even if they had some storm damage, get out there, get a green tee, go play, go support them, and have them all come back so we can enjoy the great game of golf in Tampa Bay.
Hi, gentlemen and the young lady. We will be back in the second hour. We'll have a lot of fun. I think you need to get creative during the break. You got 6 minutes. Come up with a cocktail that we can mix with a little Ice Pick Vodka.
I think I can do
that. We need to get back to that. All right, we'll be back for hour number two of On the Tee Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, getting ready for a little fantasy draft tonight up here. It's always a party at Ferg's with 100 televisions to serve you, and of course, college football night, Florida and Utah. We'll be back on the Tee Florida.